Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20 this morning. Our theme last year was consider. Our theme this year is also just one word, and it's the word steadfast. Say steadfast. Yes, I think with the day and time that we live in, with all the different challenging and with so much uncertainty known ahead of us, I think it's important to be steadfast about certain things. Say, what does the word steadfast mean? It means to be fixed in direction, constant, a firm, resolute, not wavering. And I know what some people think, stubborn, but that's not really what we're going for. And when we think about steadfast, there are certain things we're going to preach about that we should be steadfast about. Then we're also going to preach about the certain things that we should not be steadfast about, and the important things that we need to lay out there. And I believe, like I said, in a world that seems like it's with shifting sand, it seems like everything's changing moment by moment, there's a bunch of people in the world that are worried, they're concerned, and they're frightful about what's next, and they live their lives in fear instead of by faith. I think it's good that as Christians and believers that we're not worried and we're not afraid of what's going on. Instead, we're continuing to live by faith. When there's a world out there that's sitting there saying, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but then there's a group of Christians says, hey, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know God's in control, and I know Christ is coming back, and I'm going to make sure I don't change. I'm going to be steadfast about certain things. And in the world over here that tells you, you need to change with the times, there's certain things you should be willing to give on, certain things you should be willing to compromise about, certain things that you should be willing to just kind of let go. There should be some Christians out there that says there's some truths that are found in the Word of God that no matter what happens in this world and no matter what it costs me, I'm going to stay the same. But more importantly, as we dig a little bit farther, as the year goes along, I'm looking for us as a church family to become steadfast in the idea of being more spiritually disciplined too. You know, it's easy. I'm steadfast about the blood and the importance of the blood. I'm steadfast about this, and I'm steadfast about that. And those are all great and wonderful things. But when you think of the word steadfast, probably the first verse that comes to your mind is found in 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I think that's a great verse. It's not our theme verse for the year, but it's one of the ones that we consider and one of the ones we'll look at. But you think about what it's saying. It says that we need to be steadfast and unmovable. And I agree. We need to be steadfast and unmovable about certain things, but we also need to be steadfast and unmovable about the spiritual disciplines we need to have in our life. We need to be praying. We need to be reading our Bible. We need to be being a witness. When most people think steadfast, they're thinking about a conviction or a standard or a belief, and this is what I'm going to do. And I agree with all that. And many times people don't have a problem being steadfast about something they believe. You're not going to change my mind about the King James Bible, or you're not going to change my mind about this, or change my... And I think that's wonderful, and that's great. And we should be steadfast in some things that we've gotten from God, and we've gotten from the Lord. We should hold on to it and never let it go. But I also think over here on this side, we need to be steadfast in our Bible reading. We're not going to let things change us or move us when it comes to our Bible reading. We need to be steadfast when it comes to our prayer lives. We need to be steadfast when it comes to our witness. And when that verse is saying, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, it doesn't seem like they're just talking about having a feeling or a stand or a belief and never doing anything. If you're always abounding in the work of the Lord, you know what that means? Hey, I'm going to be working, going to be doing something. Always abounding in the work of the Lord means I'm going to, because I have these convictions and because I have these beliefs and because I stand on these things, it's going to cause me to do what I know I'm supposed to do. And many people have this conviction and this feeling and this stand, but they're come over to this side and it doesn't translate to this. You can be steadfast all you want about a certain Bible doctrine, but if you're not doing it and applying it to your life, you're not getting much out of it. And that's why we have many churches today that people are set in certain doctrines, which is what we're looking for, but also not letting it affect their lives to the point that they don't serve or don't do anything with that. Here in the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, he is called a group of believers. called a group of pastors to come meet him somewhere. And as he's calling them to meet him, he is saying goodbye to a group of believers, mostly known as pastors at this point in time, and he doesn't think he's ever going to see them again. He's headed on his way to Jerusalem, and as he's headed to Jerusalem, he knows that in Jerusalem, there's a chance that he's never going to get out. There's a chance that he's going to die. There's a chance that he's going to be afflicted. He knows that something's going to happen there. So as he's traveling from one point to another in Jerusalem, he gathers this group of men together, these preachers. And I'm sure it probably wasn't just pastors. I'm sure there's probably other people there, maybe even some ladies that were there. And he's having a conversation with them. He loves these people. Probably many of these people is people he's won to the Lord himself. He's discipled and even placed them in positions of the pastor and of the leadership of these churches. He brings them all, and it's a very sobering time. These are people he loves, he cares for, and he knows that he is getting ready to leave, possibly never, ever to see them again. And more than likely, as you're going to see in the scriptures, he's never going to see them again. And in verse 24, he comes to the point, and he says, "And none of these things move me." And he talks about the tears of the people. He talks about the temptations he's faced. He talks about the struggles that he's going to have, the afflictions that he's going to face. He talks about all those things. And he comes to the moment in time and he says, "I'm not going to let any of those things move me." And that's our theme verse is found in verse 24. It says, "And none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So when he's talking about being steadfast here and not letting things move him, he's not just talking about a belief, because he is talking about testifying of the gospel of the grace of God. He's not talking about that. He's talking about, "I'm not going to let the things of this world and the people of this world and the circumstances of this world stop me from what God's called me to do." So the title of this morning's message is How to Be Steadfast. How to be steadfast. And we're going to focus mostly in verse number 24, but we're going to pick up, I think we're going to go ahead and start off in verse number 17. Verse number 17, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Now this is a long church trip where they're going to travel. Actually, let's go up to verse number 16 to give you a little, set the scene a little bit. "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia." You know, these are people he loved. He wanted to get there, but he knew that was not God's plan for him. So on his trip to Jerusalem, he stops by, and he's heading to Jerusalem. He stops by to see these men, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. "And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." And that's why we're saying that they're men, because they're elders of the church. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them." And we don't have time to dig into all this. In years past, we've digged into this and we've looked at this before. But listen to the testimony he has here. He says, "Ye know." He's not talking to a group of people that do not know him. He's speaking to people that he has held accountable and that have held him accountable. He says, "Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." He says, "You remember the first day I came to you and how I've been with you throughout all different types of seasons, serving the Lord with all humility in mind." Once again, this is not just somebody talking himself up. This is someone who's sincere, talking to believers and elders of the church, preachers that would know him and know his reputation. He says, "Look, you know how I was humble, and with many tears, how he was emotionally attached to the ministry and temptations, that there's many temptations that fell upon him that he could have chosen to stop or do other things, which befell me by the lying and the weight of the Jews who were trying to kill him." And then he says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." He says, "You know me. There, I didn't hold anything back. Anything you needed to hear, anything you needed, I was willing to help provide. And have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." He says, "You've heard me preach to you." He says, "I've showed you personally. I've been into your house and how I've even gone from house to house." And he says, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ." And it's the idea that we're repenting and that we're turning to God, and that we're having our faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. When a person gets saved, it's because they have changed their mind about who God is and that he is God and in need of a Savior and has their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done. And it says, and now I go bound in spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He says, now I'm going bound. He says, I am going because this is what I need to do. He says, I'm bound in spirit. This is my duty. This is what God's called me to do. This is my ministry unto Jerusalem. This is where I know I'm supposed to go. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there. And, you know, there are people telling you, hey, Paul, you shouldn't go. Hey, Paul, you shouldn't go. They're waiting for you there. Why would you go back there? They're going to kill you there. Paul, why would you do all those things? And it comes to this moment, and he says, save the Holy Ghost, witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He's saying, hey, look, I already know. Don't cry for me. Don't try to get me to stop going. God's already told me that there's afflictions that are waiting me there. There is problems that are waiting for me there. There are bonds that are waiting for me there. But he's telling this group of men that he loves, and he says, but none of these things move me. He's saying, I'm not going to let any of these things move me. And what things is he talking about here? And you go back and you look at some of the verses there. He talks about how he didn't let how temptations didn't move him, didn't stop him from what he was supposed to be doing, how tears didn't stop him from what he was doing. And you see all the different emotional attachments he had there in verse number 19. He says, I've served with humility. He says, I've done it with tears. The temptations, the dangers, all these different things, none of these things stop me from what God's called me to do. And he's telling them with purpose, I know I'm going to Jerusalem. I know what it might mean, but I'm not going to let that stop me. Then he comes in verse number 24, and this is the verse we're going to focus mostly in. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. And he's saying to them, I know that it's not going to happen. And continues on, verse number 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He's saying, look, I look at you and I see what I've done. And I know I've done exactly what God's called me to do. My conscience is clear and it's free and dealing with you. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which ye have purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ is one who's purchased it. It says, for I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And it continues on saying, we need to be careful with the house of God because there is dangers ahead. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I don't know about you, but you ever had to say something goodbye to somebody without knowing if you'll ever see them again? I don't know about you, but I've met some people who I've maybe had great fellowship with. And knowing that unless the Lord did something different, I'm probably never ever going to see them again. And it's okay because they have a ministry and I have a ministry. But at the same time, they're on another part of the world and you might not ever. It's a sad day, but it's more than that. Paul is speaking to a group of men that many of them, I'm sure he helped lead them to Christ, saw them disciple, trained them up, and now they're holding positions of leadership in churches that he began, or at least were spring-offs from the church he began in Ephesus. And it's an amazing story, and he's there saying to them one final message to them in person, and he's saying, no matter what happens in this world, I'm not going to let anything stop me from doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to be steadfast, is what he's saying. I'm not going to let something change my mind. I'm not going to let somebody. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And it's not just about a doctrine. And once again, I think there are certain doctrines. If I came up and said something that was contrary to a doctrine that was in our basic biblical notes and different things like that, you know what? You guys would all say, hey, Pastor, you're wrong. He's saying, I'm going to be steadfast in the ministry that God's given me. I'm going to be steadfast in the work. It's not just steadfast about doctrines. And being steadfast about doctrines is where it begins. That's where you allow that to affect us in our work. It's being steadfast in our service for God. So there's three things I see in this verse that I think will help us be steadfast. Three things. The first thing about how to be steadfast is have the right attitude about yourself. Have the right attitude about yourself. Look what it says in verse 24. But none of these things shall move me. But that next phrase, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Now, time is one of the most precious things we have. Our lives, what God has given us to do and serve, is something that is a very precious commodity. But you know what Paul is saying? Hey, don't think too highly of yourself. Don't think that this life is your life. It's God's life. And he's saying, if I'm going to stay steadfast, if I'm going to be willing to go to Jerusalem and be willing to be martyred for the cause of Christ, there's something I have to get settled. There's a decision I have to make. Am I going to live for myself or am I going to live for God? And this is the first thing, is when we lay ourselves on the altar and say, hey, look, I'm not going to count my life so dear unto myself, which means, hey, I don't care what men's going to do to me. I'm not going to care what people say about me. I'm not going to care when the demons forsake me. I'm not going to care when, in the next chapter or two, when they're crying and saying, when Agabus comes, I believe it's Agabus that comes, and he says, hey, look, the man that's in this girdle or whatever it is that he wraps around him, he says, he's going to be in bonds. He's going to be taken captive. And they're seeing the tears. He says, hey, don't cry for me. He says, if this is what God wants, that's okay with me, because I made a decision a long time ago that this is not my life, this is God's life, and I don't count my life dear unto myself. If God seems fit to put me in bonds, if God sees fit to put me in afflictions, if God sees fit to put me wherever he chooses to put me, guess what? It's okay with me. I'm not going to let anything else stop me. And I want to encourage you today. Sometimes we think too highly or count our life too dear unto ourselves. Sometimes we get offended when God says, hey, we're supposed to forgive. Sometimes we get upset and mad about little things because, hey, I didn't like what they did to me. I didn't like what they said to me. I didn't like how they treated me. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. And it's all about me. It's all about how I react to me. It's all about this. And Paul is saying, hey, look, they can say what they want. They can do what they want. And it talks about how he was beaten how many times, and he was shipwrecked, and how he was in coldness and nakedness and hunger, and many times all the different things he experienced and he went through. And once again, Paul is just a man. He is a human just like we are. And he's saying, I have determined in my own heart that I'm not going to let these circumstances dictate how I'm going to react to things. I'm going to be steadfast because I've learned something. I learned not to count my life dear unto myself. Now, it doesn't mean that we go out and act foolishly. It doesn't mean that we go out and do stupid things. It doesn't mean we go walk in front of a semi that's what. No. But what it means is, hey, it's not always about the things that I feel good about. It's not always doing those things that I feel comfortable about. Many times when we're serving the Lord, God asks us to he stretches us. He asks us to do things that maybe we're not the most comfortable with. He asks us to maybe correct somebody that we don't really want to correct. He asks us to go be a witness somewhere to where we don't want to be a witness, or we're worried or we're scared. He asks us to give, to prove our faith, and we don't think we have enough to give. He pushes our limits and we pull it back. It's because I'm counting my life too dear to me. I'm looking at it, hey, it's my life. It's, who is God to tell me what I should be doing with my life? And Paul is telling this, and I think he does it from example, and he's teaching these guys from Ephesus, you've seen me. You've seen how I live. I'm not arrogant. I'm not pride. How I served you with humility, how I held nothing back from you, how night and day with tears I did all these different things. Hey, don't lift me up at all, but I want you to know something. I'm not going to let these things stop me. The Jews, they lied in wait. They were trying to kill me. It didn't stop me. Hey, when I was, this happened to me and this happened to me. When I was stoned in Lystra, it didn't stop me. It's not about me. It's not about what I've done, but I made a decision with my life. I made a decision in my heart that I'm not going to count my life dear unto myself. I have the right attitude about my life. I think that's one point that many of us have trouble getting over. We don't mind having the right goal. We don't mind having the right purpose. But it's all based off of, who am I serving for today? Who am I trying to please? What is it that I am trying to reach for? And it begins, am I doing things according to my plan or God's plan? I enjoy reading this verse, and if you know me, this is one of my theme verses in my life. And it's the reason why is because I get tired when I let things stop me. And usually it's because it's not comfortable. How many times, what does it take to stop you from reading your Bible every day? Oh, what does it take you to stop from having a good season of prayer every day? What stops you from being a witness? What stops you from forgiving? And it usually comes down to this. I think too highly of myself. I don't have enough time for me, so I don't have enough time to read the Bible because I care more about my own personal desires. I don't have enough time to pray because my mind is so filled with things that I want to think about and I want to focus on. I don't have enough time to reach out and be a witness because I'm so focused on myself, my family, and my group of friends. I have no problem spending my time on the things of this world because I enjoy those things. I have no time problem having being part of a hobby or being in a sports or enjoying time with friends. And I think all those things are fine and wonderful in their own time and in their own way. But Paul is saying, I made a decision, and this is my decision. I am not going to let these things move me. And the reason why none of these things move me is first because I have the right attitude about myself. The second thing is I have the right goals for your life, or have the right goals for your life. How to be steadfast. First, have the right attitude about yourself. Second thing, have the right goals for your life. Look what he says here, but none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear to myself. Then he says, so that I might finish my course with joy. I like that. I don't think there's enough joy in churches like ours sometimes. I don't think there's enough people that actually look like they're happy and saved on their way to heaven. And once again, I know people have different dispositions. And I'm not picking on anyone. I don't think that people should act like a fool. I don't think people should be goofy. And I mean, I don't think people should go out of their personality. But we can be joyful. We're on our way to heaven. Our sins have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. I don't have to pay for them. Christ already paid for them on the cross, and he's called me. He's placed me in the ministry. I have so much to be excited about. And he says, but it's not just this goal in life. It's not just always to be happy. But what it says here, he says, so that I might, because I didn't count my life dear unto myself, and the reason why I did that is so that I might finish my course with joy. If I chose another theme verse, it would be found in John chapter 17, verse number 4, for my own life. When Jesus prayed this, the Lord's Prayer, the High Priest's Prayer, whatever you want to call it, he says, I have glorified thee on earth, and he says these words, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I love that verse. Jesus, in his perfectness, had done everything that God wanted him to do, the Father wanted him to do from the beginning. And he could look at him and he could say, I have finished the work that you've given me to do. And boy, that's what I want for my life. That's what I want for our church's life. That's what I want for your life. God's given us a job to do. God's given us a work to do. My work is different than your work. Your work is different than their work. But he says, and that's what Paul is saying, I want to finish my course and I want to finish it with joy. And he says, I want to do what God's called me to do, and I want to be happy while doing it. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds great. But where does it happen? It happens when we have the right attitude about ourselves. He says, and that's what he was saying. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I. He's saying, because I had the right attitude about me, I had the right attitude about my life, so that I might finish my course with joy, that I might accomplish the things that God wants me to do. And this is what he's saying, my course. It's God's will for my life. I'm going to have the right attitude about myself, but I'm also going to have the right goal for my life. And the right goal for my life is not to make the most money in the world. The right goal for my life is not just to try to bring myself happiness or bring my kids happiness or try to do something that I want to do. the course he's talking about is God's plan for his life. And he says, so I have did not count my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy. I can do God's will and I'm going to be happy doing it. I don't know about you, but I see so many people struggling and so many people sad and so many people out chasing dreams and doing things and focusing so much on other things besides the course that God's given them. And all of us have received different courses. I think about those that have the course as a missionary and those like the Shaws that are in Greenland and those like the Odisons that are in Papua New Guinea and those like the Westbrooks that are in Trinidad. That's not for everybody. But I know what its course for your life is. It's to be steadfast in certain things. It's to be steadfast in our Bible reading, our praying, and whether you're going to be out there saving the world as somebody in the military or in the police, or whether you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher, a janitor, I don't care what it is. Your course is what God has designed for your life specifically. He has a plan and a purpose, a destiny he wants you to do. But you got to first say, you know what? I'm going to have this right attitude about myself. I want to be steadfast. And I know there's a lot of people that are steadfast about certain things, but they don't have the right attitude about their life. And they're steadfast and rock nailed down, but they're not finishing their course because it's only about a belief, but they're not steadfast with the goal in life. They're not steadfast and saying, what is it I want to accomplish? Had the opportunity to go watch some basketball games this past weekend. Victory had a tournament over there, and some of our girls from our church play on the girls' varsity team, and they came in first place. Shout out to them. Great job. You know, they're both in seventh grade and play on the varsity team. So, I mean, that's really neat, and I enjoyed watching. And I played high school sports. I've helped coach high school sports, and I see I don't know what you call it, a culture there. And their goal is to win that tournament. And once again, if you play, you should do your best to win. But I'm here to say I'd rather have a team that does not win a game and would be on their course for Christ than have a team that would win every single game, win every single tournament, and hurt their testimony for Christ. You're missing the point if everything's about sports. There is a course that we're on. And once again, do I really want to cheer for a team that never wins a game? Not really. It's nice when they win, but it's nice when they do it with Christian character. And like I said, I didn't see anything from the girls' team I was watching. They seemed like they did a good job. They didn't argue with the ref. There wasn't arrogance out there and pride and all those different things. It was great. It was wonderful. I was thankful for the way they acted and how they worked hard and all those other things. But at the same time, people are getting off their course. And sometimes sports is what derails it. Sometimes it's family that derails it. And once again, you should be the right example to your family. But if you're not loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your might, you're not going to be able to teach your family. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we looked in our Sunday school class with some of the parents that have kids at home. You know, there's the idea of loving God passionately and teaching him diligently. But it begins with loving him passionately first and foremost, which means, hey, what is my goal in life? Is my goal in life to get these kids to be successful in the world? Or is it to get them to see that I love God and that they love the Lord, and then they're going to face the challenges so they can teach their kids to love the Lord and they can teach their kids to love the Lord? You know, that's where the goal is. That's my course as a parent, is to teach them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But sometimes people get off track, and sometimes they miss the point, and sometimes they are not finishing their course with joy. They're hoping just to hang on and finish being semi-happy. It's because they've counted their life too dear to themselves. I remember playing soccer and basketball. I wasn't as good at basketball back then. I started playing a little bit later on in my years. I used to be better at soccer. I remember that. I could spend hour upon hour running sprints, doing, practicing, and not even bother me a bit that I hardly opened my Bible because my course was different. And I see the passion that some of those young people have. I mean, they will give their all. I don't know, as you get older, when you hear kids hit the ground, it gets kind of hurts. You kind of grimace. You see kids diving out of bounds just to try to grab the ball and throw it back in. Their team's losing by 30. I mean, what's the sense of they're giving their bodies and they're giving their lives for a sport. And I think it's great that they're passionate about something, but how much would it be if they were passionate like that for God? And in our own lives, what are we passionate about? Or finishing our course? And I enjoy a little bit of sports, but it's got to be the right perspective. And I enjoy a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But Paul's saying the reason why I became steadfast is because I had a right attitude about my life. That God comes first above a sport, above a hobby, above a desire. It's not even close. And I'm finishing my course because the course is what God's given me to do. That's my goal in life. My goal is to end up exactly where God wants me to be, doing what God's called me to do until he called me home. And while I'm doing what God's called me to do, I'm going to be able to do that with joy. That's what I want to be steadfast about. And last but not least, have the right attitude about yourself. Have the right goals for your life. Have the right purpose for your ministry. Have the right purpose for your ministry. And I'm not picking on the basketball, but it's just something I watched this week. And that is a ministry. I think a Christian school is a ministry. And I think there's a certain purpose for it. I think even inside a Christian school, playing sports, there's nothing wrong with. But if the purpose of that ministry is to have the best basketball team instead of having the best Christians, then they miss the point. And I'm not saying that anybody does that. When I played basketball, there wasn't much Christ tied back into it. It was, let's go win. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And I appreciate, when there is teams that you can see have Christian character award. And if I remember correctly, many times Victory in the past years have always come home with Christian character awards for their teams and things like that, for at least the ones I remember. So I'm thankful for that testimony. But our ministry, look what he says the ministry is here. Look what it says in verse 24. Neither count my life dear unto myself that I might finish my course with joy. And he says, and the ministry. Now he said, this is the ministry. This is, and look where it came from, which I received of the Lord Jesus. I wasn't mama sent. I wasn't daddy called. It is, I received this ministry. This is what God called me to do. And look what the next phrase is. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, this was my ministry here, is to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Can you do that through different things? I've seen people saved in all different types of avenues and different ways. I have. I've seen people testify of the grace of God, what God's done in their change in their lives. I've seen it happen on a football field, soccer field, basketball field, one person living immoral and wrong, and they turn around, they get saved, and they come out with a great testimony, and they see a change in their life, and as they see a change in their life, guess what happens? What happened to that guy? He used to do this, he used to do that. He got saved. And because of the way he lived his life, it testified of the grace of God in his life. The grace of God has changed me. And because of the grace of God has changed me, it's changed who I am, it's changed who I become, it changed what I am. And that's what Paul is saying here. If we're really going to be steadfast about those things that are important, we're going to first have the right attitude about our life. Secondly, we're going to have the right goals for our life. And thirdly, we're going to have the right purpose for the ministry God's given me. If we think our ministry is all about us and what we can accomplish and how we can get things done our own way, then we've missed the whole point. Our whole ministry should be testifying of what God's grace has done in my life. Look at the change that God's done for me, and God can do for you too. Look at what God's done. And once again, it's going back to having the right attitude about self. I realize that my goal is to finish the course. And my purpose on this course is to testify of the grace of God and what he's done. So when we're talking about being steadfast this year, I believe it starts, come back all the way over here, with making a decision about me and about myself and saying, am I going to live for me or am I going to live for him? Then I'm going to start, if I'm going to live for him, I got to figure out what my course is. God, where is it you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? I'm on that course. And then I come to this moment in time where I say, okay, I'm on this course. Why am I on this course? And the whole purpose is to testify of the grace of God. Now, can we have fun? I like having fun. This afternoon is the one time a year where we play games in church. And this afternoon we got a couple of things that we're going to do and have a little bit of fun. Why is that? Just to enjoy yourselves as a church family. And there'll be preaching that happens. But we're going to be able to testify that God can, we can have fun even in God's house. Amen. And we can enjoy having fellowship with one another. You don't have to be sinful. You don't have to do things wrong in order to just have a good time. You don't. It testifies of what? What God's done in my life. The changes happen in your life. If any man could testify of the grace of God, like what the gospel of Jesus Christ did in their life, it could be the Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul, who killed Christians repeatedly, brought them into trial, did all these different things. And he came to this moment in time and he says, this is what my ministry is to testify the gospel of the grace of God, that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, he rose again, and he paid my sin debt, and he changed my life. And this is the change he's made for me. That is what ministry is about. That's the Sunday school classes we have. That's the youth classes we have. That's the activities we have. It's all based around helping people see that Christ died for their sins and that he rose again. And yes, you say, well, what about when you have fun? You teach people, hey, I can have fun as a believer and as a Christian. God's made my change. I don't have to go drinking. I don't have to go smoking. I don't have to go out and be immoral. I don't have to do these other wicked things just to have a good time. I can finish my course of joy because I'm testifying. This is my purpose in my ministry. My ministry is not to make more of me. My ministry is make more people like him and testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So whatever it is that goes out from Faith Baptist Church and the ministries that happen at Faith Baptist Church should be all around the central location, teaching people about the gospel of Jesus Christ and training and raising more people to show the grace that God's provided in their life. So tonight, today, whatever time it is, I guess it's morning still, think about it. Are you steadfast? Pastor, you know I'm steadfast. I'm not going to change when it comes to this doctrine and this doctrine and this doctrine. Praise the Lord. Paul is telling this group of believers, you saw that I was faced with tears. You saw that I was faced with people not wanting me to go. You saw I was faced with people trying to kill me. You know that when you leave, I just told you that there's going to be people that come in and they're going to try to ruin the church. And it's easy. It's even interesting that he says, even among them, he says in verse number 30, also of your own self shall men rise up. He's saying, even some of you are going to rise up and do something that is wrong. But he says, none of that stuff is going to stop me from doing what God has called me to do. But then I look at my own life, and I am humbled when I don't take time to read my Bible like I should. Because I let something as frivolous as entertainment stop me from having good time with God. It makes me want to repent and get it right. And I watched the example, and it goes back to this, having the right attitude about self. Is life revolve around me? Of course I don't think that way. Okay. But does your life belong to God? Well, you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Yes, it does belong to him, but do you see it that way? Because sometimes we get riled up, and sometimes we get upset, and sometimes we get mad, and sometimes we will let the way someone else treats us dictate how I'm going to serve God. I'll be good to them if they're good to me. But if they do something, come on, your life's too dear to yourself. Oh, as long as they don't do something, your life's too dear to yourself. I'll serve if life's too dear to yourself. I'll serve because he deserves to be served. I'll do what's right and be steadfast because I'm not going to count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus, not the ministry that pastor gave me, the ministry that God's given me to testify of the grace of God. This morning, are you steadfast? Not just in Bible doctrine. My encouragement is to be spiritually disciplined in the course that God's given us, having the right goal for life, which is being on God's course for my life. And with that ministry, having the right purpose. ministry takes so many different forms and so many different shapes that it becomes so self-centered sometimes that I don't know how God can work. But when we remember it's supposed to be testifying of the grace of God, yeah, I can forgive because he's forgiven. I can serve because he served. I can minister to those that don't treat me right because he ministered to those that treat me right because of what the grace of God did in my life. Last but not least, do you know Christ today? 2021 is here. It's a few days old. There is something that we are steadfast about in our doctrines and our belief, as what the Bible teaches about salvation. All men are sinners. All men are in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ came and died for the sins of mankind. You can put your faith and trust in him this morning and know what the Bible says. You can know that you have eternal life when you turn, as it says here, that your repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When you see God for who he is, see yourself for who you are and what Jesus Christ did. I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin has separated me from God, and I need what Christ did for me. And Lord, I'm coming to you and asking you to save me. Let's pray.